Live from the summer home of Jonas Grumby in Lahaina, Hawaii, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned horseman, truck driver, and businessman, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time World Welterweight Alligator Wrestling Champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who could have easily fixed the hole in the side of the minnow. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Rick, I just want to make it perfectly clear that I don't have a single thing to talk to you about, so we're just going to sit here in silence for the next hour.
That'd be fine.
Starting now.
Okay, but...
this is the first time you ever used some Led Zeppelin sampling there.
It is the first time I used Led Zeppelin. I didn't know if you'd know that or not.
I like that. It's been a long time since I rock and rolled.
When it gets down to that one spot, don't you feel like just going, lonely, 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 lonely time?
I did until I heard that. Okay, there's something else in there that... sparked my interest. You referring to yourself as a horseman.
I've ridden a horse.
How long has it been since you've ridden a horse?
Well.
I'm assuming you fell off.
No, I rode a horse. But I mean, when I was orcharding, I rode horses. Mm-hmm. Shetland pony.
Okay. Well, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, when was the last time you rode a horse?
Well, 45 years ago.
Well, I thought you went on a horseback ride on the beach down in Jamaica or something, didn't you?
Yeah.
Some flea bags down there?
Yeah. I forgot about that. That was actually Barbados.
Barbados.
Took a cruise ship. On a cruise, Suzanne decided that she desperately wanted to ride horses on the beach.
Where is Barbados?
It's somewhere in the Caribbean or Caribbean, whichever one you want to go.
Okay. Just wondering.
I think it's the
And why did you Caribbean. Choose to go to the Barbados to ride a horse?
Cruise ship.
They got them here in the contiguous 48, man.
Cruise ship stop there.
Oh, okay.
And when you get off the cruise ship,
they're just waiting for you.
They are waiting for you. You remember back, remember the movie 10?
Yeah.
Bo Derek.
Do I? Yeah, I remember the movie 10, Dudley Moore. Dudley Moore's what made that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Bo Derek barely spoke. Well.
That wasn't her function. Now, one of the things you probably remember about Bo Derek in that movie, when you think about it, is that she had beads in her hair. She
cornrows. That was the first thing that caught my eye.
That's what I thought you were thinking. But at the time, that became kind of a fad.
It did.
So whenever this cruise ship would stop at these islands, the native ladies who were there were waiting at the dock, waiting to put beads in the women's hair, like braid them and bead them.
Or men.
Yeah, back then it was just women.
Okay.
Now, men were not getting that done. But every island you go to, they had just a slightly different style of braiding and beading. You'd get off the boat, and the ladies would look at you and go, "You had that done on Antigua." Well, they don't know anything about beads in Antigua. Let me show you how it's done in Barbados.
And how much did it cost to have Sue's hair braided?
It's like $5 every time you have one of them braids done.
Okay.
You know, so you go in, they say, want us to do all of them? You know, it'd be like $100. Although you could probably talk them down to $4 or $5. But you'd say, no, just one. Well, then you go to the next aisle and you get another one, another one, another one. So by the time you get to the end of the cruise, and all the ladies on the cruise are having this done, the boat would kind of rock, and you just hear this jank, this clicking noise all over the boat when their beads would click. But the other thing, in addition to getting beads in your hair, which Sue got beads in her hair, we also decided to ride a horse on the beach.
Mm.
And we talked about it. Well, pretty soon, you know, down the beach.
Sounds like an exciting and romantic.
It is an exciting and romantic thing. When you go to the beach in these little Caribbean islands, you know, they're waiting to sell you beads. And then there'll be a guy comes down the beach with watches, you know, that are Rolex watches.
Oh, yeah.
That he got off a train wreck, I guess.
Sure.
And, of course, you'd have guys coming by to sell you ganja if you wanted it. And you'd slough them off.
It was Rolex, R-O-L-E. CK, right?
Rolex. Yeah, CKS. But here comes a guy. You know, we're at the beach and we're laid out on the beach. Here comes a guy with a little cardboard sign. It's like Jethro Bodine drew it. It says horseback rides on the beach. It's written with a magic marker on it.
How could you pass that up?
Like, well, there it is. I said, you want to ride horses on the beach? Here it is. So we said, yeah, hey, we want to ride horses on the beach. It's 1 o'clock. He says, meet under the palm tree over there. So, okay. 1 o'clock, we meet under the palm tree.
That's where he normally kills people for their money.
So, you know, you go to the palm tree, and the palm tree's at the edge of the beach. So you go stand there. Pretty soon, here comes Philippe, or whatever his name is, you know. And his uniform is a pair of cut-off blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
That's it.
Yeah. And his hair is beaded. He's beaded.
You're trusting your life to this man.
Yeah. He's a native of the island.
Sure.
And he says, come with me. We ride the horses. Where aren't the horses
why aren't
here?
You bringing them to us?
No. You have to go to the horses.
Okay.
So we're going to head in inland now.
Uh-oh.
And I'm trying to think of what's the proper town. Imagine if Otterville were transported to Barbados.
Okay, that's going to help all of our listeners. You know, this is an international show, okay. Rick.
Imagine a little town of maybe
Hooterville.
30 or 40 people. It's not Otterville. Otterville's a nicer place than this. The 30 or 40 people living in abject poverty.
Okay.
And, you know,
let's think Deliverance.
I guess.
Okay.
And dirt roads running through this little town. And every, you know, the shacks are all tin roofed, you know, like corrugated tin roof shacks. And each one of the houses has a paddock that's made out of pallets that are wired together. And in each little paddock, there's
Rick, I've been to that town.
there's a horse, like a rundown horse. So there's a bunch of guys who would take you on a horseback ride, but Philippe got us first. So we're going to Philippe's paddock. And you get there, you know, and he unwires the... what are you pointing at?
You moved around and there's a strange sound.
Oh. He unwires the paddock, brings the horse out. The horse, he has like some sort of a homemade saddle with rope stirrups.
Okay.
You know, that he's got his horses saddled up, ready to go, and they're wearing, they've got rope.
Rick, that's the authentic style for Barbados.
They've got rope halters, you know.
Yeah.
And the horse looks like it's been a while since he's had his 4 square meals.
Okay.
You know, he's hungry.
A little gaunt, is he?
Yeah, he's a little gaunt. So, and you wonder, you know, like you said, you know, we've gotten off this boat.
Rick, that just means he's fast.
Yeah. We've gotten off this boat, you know, didn't tell a single human being mm-hmm. where we were going.
Mm-mm-mm.
We just got off, found a taxi, said, take us to a beach, took us to a beach.
Uh-huh.
And
then made an agreement with a guy wearing just cut-off pants.
And he's going to take us in the back alley of this little burg.
Mm-hmm.
And to ride horses.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, see, and you pay cash. Of course.
Given.
American money is the universal currency of the Caribbean, no matter what country it is.
Right.
And so we get up on the horses. And,
suddenly you start itching all over.
That was later.
Okay.
The horses, you know, there's a route that they take, and the horses know the route. So it really doesn't matter
what you're doing. It's not like some television commercial where you're galloping down the beach with the sun setting over the ocean.
Yeah.
On two fine steeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like that.
Galloping. The horses know where they're going, you know, and they can wind back and forth across the streets, but they can't get out of the path because there's pallets all along the pathway. And it turns out that they can't just ride horses just anywhere on the beach. There's only certain spots that where horse riding is allowed.
Horse-friendly beaches. So, like a dog-friendly beach or a nudity-friendly beach. This is a horse-friendly beach.
Yes, that is correct. So and he's leading the horses. He's got his own horse that he's leading us with.
Are they all tied together? Or?
No, you have control, sort of. I mean, the horse didn't really care where you were tugging its head because it knew it was going to this one spot on the beach. So go down the streets of Hooterville and finally make a turn out to the beach and go out on the beach maybe 20 or 30 feet, at which point the guy stops and for $5 he'll take a picture of you sitting on your horses to prove that you've ridden horses on the beach. And then you turn around and go back.
That's it.
That was the extent of riding horses on the beach.
Wow. Okay.
The romance of it was slightly less than advertised, but we did not get killed.
Well, there's the bonus, isn't it?
It kind of was. So, yes, that was the last time I've ridden a horse. No, I take that back.
Oh, okay. This has to be a living horse, Rick. It can't be a carousel.
Okay, well, then I haven't.
Okay.
Judge Birch over in Calhoun.
Yeah.
Remember Judge Birch? When I ran for state's attorney, he ran against me and I beat him. But then he ran 2 years later for judge, so I had to answer to him all the time.
Okay.
But he's a horseman, and he always barrel races at the Calhoun County Fair. And every year when I'd go up on Saturday mornings to practice my emceeing for the Queen contest, when I was done, I'd go watch the horses, Judge Birch, be barrel racing. But he let me ride one of his horses one day.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Did you run it around the barrels, did you?
No.
Okay.
I trotted it just a little bit around, got my picture taken for $5. He charged me $5, just like in Barbados, and to prove that I was riding on a horse, and then he made me get off. So that was the last time I rode a horse. How about you? When's the last time you rode a horse?
Oh, boy. I went on a horseback ride in California, and we rode out onto the beach. And it was me, my wife, my oldest daughter, and my youngest daughter, Julia, and we all went out.
A family affair.
Yeah, it was.
A family horse riding affair. Yes, like the Cartwrights, only with girls.
Correct. And that was the only thing in back of my mind was dun 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 dun. But we never, you know, like took off on a full gallop or anything. They trod a little bit, and we rode through, you know, like sand, you know, horse on, you know, like sand dunes, and right out onto the beach, and then back through, you know, some forested areas, and it was interesting. But you know, okay, the bottom line is that I could easily go the rest of my life and never get on another horse, and I'm not going to feel cheated in any way. Prior to that, I was invited to go. This is over in Missouri, middle of Missouri, invited to go look at a piece of property. And the owner said, the best way to look at it is from horseback. I said, well, you know, I'm not a big horseback rider. I said, how tough of a ride is it? And they said, well, we'll be jumping over some fences and some logs in the trail because it's a hunt club piece of property, and that's the way it's set up, and that's what the horses expect when you ride them through this property. I said, jumping fences? I said, yeah. And I said, well, I don't know about that. And they said, don't worry, we got you taken care of. You'll be safe the whole time. So I show up.
You're riding frisky.
And what they have lined up for me, and I don't know if this counts for what we're talking about, is
a mule.
A Missouri mule. I mean, it's...
For real?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, a big, tall Missouri mule. I mean, it's as big, bigger than the horses that they're riding.
Yeah, mules are big.
It was enormous. And they said it's the most sure-footed animal on the farm. It'll go anywhere these horses can go, and it'll follow the horses, and all you have to do is just hang on when it jumps something. But it will not stumble, and it can jump anything that these horses jump. Just hang on, and we'll yell before we jump something.
So you rode a mule.
I rode the mule, and the mule jumped. I mean, it was one giant, it was a big, giant Missouri mule.
So, if you've never ridden an animal that's jumped over anything like a mule,
you better get ready for it.
It was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was.
Did it kind of pucker you up? First time it jumped over something?
First time going over, it was like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, just, you know, it did all right.
Because the mule says, you know,
I'm going anyway.
This idiot on me doesn't have any say over it.
He's not in control of anything. Yeah, and that's the last time I rode on the back of any animal.
Our mother said they used to farm with mules.
I think that was
had a set of mules pull the plow.
I think that was a pretty common thing. I think if you dug through some of the old pictures of like the Ringhausen family, they had some mules that
dad said
working
he never,
in the
dad
orchard.
Dad said he never farmed with mules.
I didn't say animals. It was dad.
No, well, you mean before him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but mom's family, when she was a child, actually farmed with mules.
Well, I don't know how much she was, you know, like, you know.
She said she rode them. She'd
well,
ride
maybe
them while
she wasn't, you know, like plowing with them.
No, the grandpa was plowing.
Okay.
You know, I was talking with dad about that a little bit. He said he remembers people who would plow behind a mule or a horse. You know, you're just a one-bottom plow.
They were holdouts, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. One-bottom plow.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, the plow is going to want to jump out of the ground. I mean, if you're plowing behind a horse or a mule, you're literally holding the plow down into the ground while the animal is pulling it, right? I mean, it involves physical labor to hold the plow in place.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done it, but, you know. Well, I've seen it done with a horse.
It seems to me like farming was a lot harder back then.
I'd say everything was harder back then.
Probably. Hey, I got a commercial for you.
Yeah, okay.
Here. There you go.
I'm on commercial duty.
You are.
Okay, the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Industrial Grade Toothpaste. Tired of brushing your teeth every day? Why waste your valuable time on a daily routine when once a week is plenty? That is, if you use Uncle Den's Industrial Grade Toothpaste. With a special secret blend of solvents and emollients, a mixture known only to Uncle Den, this powerful dental aid is guaranteed to remove even the ugliest plaque and stains. Simply apply the paste directly to your teeth with a special neoprene applicator. Rinse vigorously with peroxide, then follow up with a coating of Uncle Den's synthetic resin polyurethane sealant and ammonia-based odor neutralizer, and you're good for a week. In fact, we specifically recommend that you don't use it more than once a week, if you know what's good for you. Get yours today and throw your old toothbrush away. Uncle Den's industrial-grade toothpaste. This product has not been FDA tested or approved. I'm not going to analyze that. I'll just leave that.
At what point in human history did people start brushing their teeth?
I don't know. You know, like if you're talking about like with a
toothbrush.
I'm talking about with a manufactured toothbrush and some kind of cleaning agent, toothpaste. You know, I'm not 100% sure. I think people have been, you know, like cleaning their teeth with like baking soda,
sharpened baling
for a long time. I think they've also used like reeds and different things that they probably used to, you know, clean off their teeth down through the years.
So you think like in ancient Rome they actually did clean their teeth?
I think they probably rubbed something on them, yeah, to some degree. Yeah, I think so.
How about in England? When did they start?
They haven't started yet.
Yeah.
Is that what you're fishing for there, Rick? What about England?
Oh, you know, we went to England. I don't remember seeing just mouths and mouths of crooked, twisted teeth and all the people that talked to us.
Well, the problem was there, you wouldn't know that because nobody smiled at you. They're all angry with you.
Do you remember the movie It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, right?
Oh, yeah.
At some point, Milton Berle and his tribe break down and there's an English guy that picks him up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is his name? Terry Thomas or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think so.
When I think of English teeth, that's what I think.
That's right there. That's it. That's the... I think of more of... what was the guy from Saturday Night Live that pretends to be a British spy?
Austin Powers.
Yeah, Austin Powers. The teeth they have on him. That's pretty much British teeth right there.
When you're talking about British and Saturday Night Live, I thought you were talking about Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest... they're having a remake of, not a remake, but a reunion of the...
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap guys.
Yeah, it's just coming out.
Have you seen them?
Well, they're...
They all have, like, white hair, but it's all just the same length and style from the first Spinal Tap
which
movie.
Was, like, 40 years ago.
Right.
The same three guys, Harry Shearer and... what is it? McCain and Christopher Guest.
Lenny Squiggy guy. Yeah. Yeah.
When I mentioned Christopher Guest.
But those guys in the movie played their instruments.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they're all musicians.
Right.
Christopher Guest is an actual British lord.
Is he now?
Like, he actually would go vote in the House of Lords. His dad died. His dad was...
It's a heritage thing.
His dad was the Earl of something.
Right.
And when he died, Christopher Guest became the new Earl of something.
And the only way you can take that seat is to be a relative.
Yes.
Of one level or another. And it's the House of Commons that you can actually be elected.
That's correct. But the House of Lords is strictly hereditary. Since he got elected, they've passed a new law that limits the ability of... out-of-towners to be in the House of Lords. They've cut off the
lineage thing?
Yeah, a little bit. It's still a lineage.
But he's British.
Yeah, I know he is. And he's married. Do you know who he's married to?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Lady Curtis.
Ah, yes.
She has made a decided life decision not to be known as Lady Curtis. She says that's her husband's thing, that she's not.
Not a part of that, huh? Well, she's a part of American movie royalty.
Yeah. Who's she the child of?
Tony Curtis and the chick from Psycho.
Psycho, yeah. Not that her mother was crazy.
Jennifer Lee. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis is one of those actresses that's not... had plastic surgery done and is a...
Well, she likes to come out and not wear makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah, she says she's getting old. She's just going to become old and wrinkled and gray.
Natural.
And it's just the way it's going to be, and she's not having anything done to try to stem the tide of time.
I think she needs to rethink that.
Well, I was going to say, watching those commercials from Spinal Tap, I'd say her husband's made the same decision.
Exactly. You know the first movie he was in?
No.
It was Death Wish.
Death Wish?
Yeah.
You mean like with Charles Bronson?
Yeah.
I don't remember him in Death Wish.
He's
what
in
did
Death
he do
Wish.
In Death Wish?
He's the cop right at the end that when Charles Bronson gets shot, he's the first cop on the scene. Hmm. He has like two lines.
But it was his big break.
Yeah, that was it.
We should do a show on what the big break was for all these different famous actors.
Like Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah.
Well, you know what his was?
He was in The Graduate.
That's right. You want me to call the cops? I'll call the cops.
That was his big line.
That was it. That's all he said in the whole thing.
Buck Henry. Buck Henry was in that too, wasn't he?
Oh, he was the hotel clerk.
I was thinking Norman Fell.
I don't like you.
He ran the hotel.
I want you out of here.
Of The Graduate.
Yeah, that's the guy from Three's Company.
And I'm not too sure The Graduate wasn't... Dustin Hoffman's big break.
Well, it was his big break, but I think he was in a couple of other things, wasn't he, for that little bit pieces?
I think he played Paul Bearer number three in some slasher movie, didn't he?
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. Who is there? The guy, one of the characters from Alias Smith and Jones, he was also in The Graduate.
The one that killed himself?
No.
The other one?
I guess.
Oh, the one that wasn't dead.
That's right. It was probably the girl's first movie, too, wasn't it? Elaine!
Nah, she was in Butch Cassidy.
That was later.
Kid. You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm not so sure.
Okay, whatever. Be that way. I don't care. Okay, what were we talking about?
The farmer's market.
The farmer's market? We didn't talk about the farmer's market at all.
No, I know, but
what do you know about the farmer's market?
I've gone last 2 weeks. I'm helping out at the farmer's market. I'm regaining my roots. What are you laughing at?
I did nothing. I think that's great, Rick.
The Ringhausens participate in the farmer market at Tower Grove in St. Louis Park.
Right. And the week that you're referencing, you had you, Brother Dennis, Brother Brad at that market while I was in Jerseyville running the other market. Our parents really let us down that week.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I thought you were home. I thought you were in Chicago. I didn't think you were helping at all.
Well, you are so wrong. Well, Dennis was there with you. What do you think was happening at the...
He said he had some. He said he had some like idiot around the market. Well, I guess you were there. Yeah. Now we go to the farmer's market. We get down there, and Dad has been going down there for what, 20 years, maybe
at least.
And
he's like the longest participant in the Tower Grove market still alive.
And when they started, there were like four or five booths of different farmers that sold stuff there.
Yep.
And now it's this giant thing.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
There's still only four or five markets, but there must be, or farmers, there must be like 100 other booths. And they sell the strangest assortment of junk and stuff that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
soap,
homemade aromatic soap, and then
macrame flower pot holders.
Yeah,
you food's know, like, pretty good,
like
though.
Pictures made out of seeds.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly.
So you know,
there's a lot of products for dogs.
Oh yeah, and there's a lot of dogs. A
lot of dogs at the park.
Yes, is the answer to that. And so we just got set up there. And a guy comes by with a great big black dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
knock the table over.
No, he's well, that's a big dog. Oh, he's friendly. At which point, the dog, someone walks by, and I thought that dog was going to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog leaps up, rah, 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 and all of us on our side of the table took a step back, you know. And, you know, the owner of the dog at the end of the leash, now stop it, you know. And he's just wrestling this big dog, you know. And the guy who was the, I guess, the...
victim?
The victim-to-be of the dog, you know. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He says, hey, get your dog under control. And I go, we're like, so that's the dog that you were just saying never...
Liar! I was down in this small town, and it was autumn. You know, the leaves were beautiful colors, and it was a real picturesque little town, little burg. And in the back of the town, there's this little chapel. I guess I can say where it's at.
I thought you were going to say tavern.
It's Elsa, Illinois. You know, the whole town is on the National Register.
Okay, well, then there's no tavern in it.
It's beautiful. There's no tavern there. And I'm taking some pictures for a brochure that I was working on at the time. And coming down the street are these two kids, and they have a dog with them. It's a collie, full-grown, full-size collie.
Like Lassie.
Like Lassie, yeah. And they're coming towards me, and the dog kind of starts growling. And I kind of slow my pace down a little bit, hoping they're going to go down a side street. They don't. They're still coming towards it, and the dog now barks a couple times, you know, and growling.
It's warning you.
And I said, hey, girls, is your dog friendly? They said, oh, yeah. I said, does he bite? They said, no. And all of a sudden, it just charges at me and bites me. I just got a hold of my leg, and it tears my pants and breaks the skin. You know, I'm bleeding. I got blood running down my legs. I'm like yelling at, get off me. Get your dog.
You know, here's the thing. The dog belongs to a couple of kids, and he's attacking you. But because there's kids there, you don't really want to, like,
you stupid
dog. You don't want to kick it or try to stomp it to death or anything like that.
I'm yelling at them, you know, get your dog. And they come running up there, you know, and grab the dog. And it's still chewing at me, you know. And my pants are torn. I'm bleeding like crazy.
Sorry, mister.
I thought you said that this dog doesn't bite.
First time.
I said, well, it's the first time we've ever seen it bite. And they just start, you know, walking away. I said, whoa, 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 whoa.
Your favorite go-to phrase.
I need to know who you are and where you live. Why, we can't tell you that. I said, your dog just bit me. If there's something wrong with the dog, I need to know.
So you don't get to go through the rabies regimen?
You have to tell me who you are or who your parents are so that I know. And then, yeah, I go home and I call the sheriff's department, and they quarantined the dog for a period of time, and that was all there was to it. I mean, it did not have rabies. I demanded that it be shot in the village square.
The village square. You know, on that topic, there's a lady that lives over in Calhoun at ran one of the grocery stores in Hardin.
Okay.
And she's taking her trash out to the dumpster.
Yeah.
And when she goes to throw it in, there's a raccoon in. It jumps out and bites her and runs off.
Okay. What do you do about that, huh?
What do you do?
Whew. Did she have to go through the series?
Yes, she did.
Oh, man. You know, when we were kids, they said, well, stay away from, you know, anything that's got rabies, because if you get bit by something with rabies, you have to get shots in your belly button.
Yeah, that's right. That was always the story. I'm not sure that's accurate at all.
I don't think that is either, but yeah, it was terrifying. Well, I don't want rabies ever. Oh, my God. Rick.
Is it that time?
We're out of time.
Well, time. Tempus fugit.
Yeah. We don't use that kind of language.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jim's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. There aren't any.